I'll go by mine here. Amen. And we'll keep good time. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right, let's go to the book of Acts, of all places. I want to read a couple of verses from the first chapter and four verses from the second chapter. So let's go to Acts chapter 1 and verse number 5. These are some of the last words that Jesus spoke on the earth before his ascension. And he said, "For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." And then in the 8th verse, he said, "But ye shall have power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." But they shall be. Future tense. Gonna happen. Gonna be. Then Acts chapter 2, verse number 1. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come," present tense. Hallelujah. Now it's more than a promise. It's a reality. Everybody say, it's happening. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house wherein they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost." But say, Holy Ghost! "And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Hallelujah. Praise God. And the Holy Ghost came. Praise the Lord. I want to preach to you for the next little bit on this subject. Blame it on the Holy Ghost. If you're looking somebody to blame it on the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise God. And the Lord bless you. And you may be seated. A.D. 33. City of Jerusalem. Upper room. There was an explosion that rocked the heavens and the earth. A.D. 2011, June the 5th, Sunday morning, Athens, Texas. We're still feeling the aftershocks of that explosion that took place almost 2,000 years ago. But it's not just happening in Athens, Texas. It's happening all around the world. A lot of people have already had their service this morning, and they've gone home. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, they're asleep right now. But there are brand new people that spoke in tongues for the very first time and received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There are people in some places that came to church with sickness in their body and left with wellness, not only in their body, but also in their soul. God is still doing great things in His church 2,000 years later. And if you're looking for somebody to blame for this, just blame it on the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Well, it all started in the heavens. But in the earth, it happened just about 33 years before this incident in Jerusalem, when an angel came and spoke to a young virgin and said to her, "You're going to be overshadowed by the Holy Ghost." So if you're looking for somebody to blame, blame the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary, and there was conceived in her womb a child. And that child was born, and the angel said, "Call his name Jesus, For he shall save his people from their sin. There was never a baby like Jesus born, and there never shall be. There was never a man like Jesus Christ, and there never shall be. Because he was fully God, and he was fully man. And Mary was his mother, but God was his father. Hallelujah. Praise God. There was none like him. Jesus grew, and the Holy Ghost was with him. At his baptism, the Holy Ghost was manifest. The Bible said immediately, the Spirit or the Holy Ghost drove him into the wilderness where he was tempted of Satan for 40 days. And the Bible says, and then he returned in the power of the Holy Ghost. And a ministry began. Of his words it was said, never a man spake like this man, for he speaks as one having authority. He had authority not only in this realm, but in all the other realms that are. Hallelujah. He had power in heaven, and he shook the gates of hell with something as simple as his spoken word. Praise God. Jesus Christ exercised authority over spirits. And spirits are real. They still exist today. Amen. There are people that have human spirits, and they have demonic spirits. Amen. Those are very active in our world today. Amen. But thank God there is also the Spirit of God. And it is the greatest of all spirits. Jesus had authority over evil spirits. He could tell the devil, hush, and the devil couldn't speak. He could tell the devil, leave, and he had to go. Hallelujah. One time he spoke to a man. The Bible said he had a legion of spirits. That's literally thousands of evil spirits living inside of one human being. And Jesus said, go! And the spirit had to leave. Amen. Praise God. He had power over disease. When Jesus spoke to the leper, he was cleansed. When Jesus spoke to the lame, he leaped. When he spoke to the deaf, he could hear. When he touched the blind, they could see. Jesus exercised authority over all disease. And he still does. Anybody been healed in this sanctuary? I mean really healed. Pray. I mean you really had something wrong with you. Doctor said you had something wrong with you. And Jesus healed your body. Why don't you stand to your feet right now and lift your hands and let's just thank God. Lord, I want to thank you for a healing here today. Thank you for what you have wrought in these human beings that are under the sound of my voice and that you're still in the healing business today. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. So God is in the healing business. Jesus Christ exercised authority over nature. He could speak to water and it blushed and turned to wine. He could speak to a raging storm that was causing a sea to toss a boat. And he could simply say, peace, be still. And the waves settled down like a lap dog at his feet. And the wind ceased to howl. The thunder ceased to sound. And the lightning ceased to flash. And it was as calm as it had ever been. Jesus exercised authority over nature. Jesus exercised authority over death. To the widow of Nain's son, he took that cold form by the hand and said, son, I say rise. And he sat up on the funeral pier and he turned him to his mother. And instead of a funeral, they had a celebration that day. He went to Jairus' daughter, took that little girl by the hand and said, I say unto thee, arise. And she sat up. The flush of life returned to her cheeks. The light of life returned to her eyes. Strength returned to her limbs. And she jumped up from off of that bed. And life was restored to her body. Jesus spoke to an open face, an open tomb. where the stench of death was belching into his face, where his friend that had been dead for 4 days was lying, and Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. Hallelujah. And somewhere in the celestial realm, Lazarus said, I got to go, bud. See you later. And he came from the celestial back to the terrestrial, went into that body, and somehow found the strength to hop out there wrapped in grave clothes. I'm telling you, he had power over death. Amen. And if you're looking for somebody to blame, just blame it on the Holy Ghost. It was the Spirit of God that was in him that gave him that authority. Praise God. If you're looking for somebody, amen, to blame for the crucifixion, blame it on human beings. Blame it on my sin. Blame it on your sin. Because that's what nailed him there. He went to Calvary for my sake. He went to Calvary for your sake. He shed his blood for our sins. He had no sin, but he took our sin upon him. And the Bible said he became sin for us, that we through him might become the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Crucifixion. Day of weeping. Day of death. They took his limp form from the cross, hurriedly as they possibly could. They took it to a tomb that they borrowed and laid it down in the tomb. Amen. He didn't need it very long. It was a borrowed tomb. Praise God. On the third day, just like he said, the stone rolled away and Jesus came forth, resurrected, alive forevermore, the angel said. Amen. And so he is. Hey, the resurrection didn't just touch Jesus. The Bible said the saints rose up and walked. Amen. Woo! I'm telling you, friend, this made an impact in the world. Amen. Uncle Lukey had been dead for a while, and all of a sudden they saw him at HEB. Got exciting. Aunt Sally, they just had a funeral a few days ago, and sure, here she comes strolling down the street. It was an exciting time in Jerusalem. And on top of that, they couldn't get rid of that pesky Jesus. He just kept showing up. Not only that, but he walked on the earth for 40 days. And he was seen by literally tens of thousands of witnesses. They couldn't sweep it under the rug. They couldn't cover it up. No matter how hard they tried. And if you're looking for somebody to blame, blame it on the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. Didn't he say, destroy this body, and in 3 days, I will raise it up. And he didn't just say it, he did it. Hallelujah. So he walked with them for 40 days. He talked and he taught. And he gave his last words. And his last words were these that I just read to you from the book of Acts. He said, I want you to go back to Jerusalem. I want you to go back to that upper room where we had our last supper. And he said, I want you to stay right there until you be endued with power from on high. Until you receive the promise of the Father. They went into that room. They didn't know what to expect. They didn't know what was going to happen. Amen. There were 500 people that heard his command. But when Pentecost came, it had dwindled to 120. Somebody along the way lost hope. Somebody lost faith. Somebody gave up on the promise. Amen. But when Pentecost came, 120 were still there. Amen. And they were just doing what he said. Just wait. Waiting's hard to do. It. I hate to wait. I'd rather do almost anything than wait. I don't even like red lights. I don't like stop signs. I don't like to wait. Amen. And you know what? The Lord knows that, so He gives me plenty of it to do. They say practice makes perfect, but so far it hasn't. I don't like to wait. But they waited. Amen. I don't know how long they waited, but I know they waited at least 7 days. That's a long time to wait, isn't it? Amen. But my, what a promise. He said you're going to be endued with power. What kind of power? I don't know, but it's going to be powerful. Let me tell you what kind of power it was. Look over here in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 1, verse number 19. Paul talks about the power that was given to the church. Amen. Verse number 1, or chapter number 1, verse number 19, he said, "And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward?" Greatness of His power to usward. He said, "Who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand, even heavenly places." So the power He's talking about, He said it was the power that was in Jesus Christ that caused Him on the third day to ignore death and get up and walk out of the tomb. I'm telling you what, that's great power. I don't know of a greater power than power over death. Hallelujah. And that's the kind of power that Jesus has given to His church. Yes. Praise God. Thank you, Brother Hart. Amen. At least somebody got it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And thank God for the power that is given to His church. Hallelujah. Amen. I got four. If I keep going, I'll get some more. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So He said, "I want you to tarry till you be endued with power from on high." And they went. Amen. Here's Peter, James, John, all the disciples, exception Judas, who hanged himself. Amen. And here's Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the other Marys, and Martha, and they're waiting on the Holy Ghost. Amen. I don't know what's going to happen, but we're just waiting on the Holy Ghost. Amen. You know what? We'd still see more if we'd just wait on the Holy Ghost. We'd see a lot more great things in God and in the church if we just wait on the Holy Ghost. If we wouldn't get in so much of a hurry to make things happen. Amen. If we're not careful, we learn how to have church. And we learn how to manipulate people and crowds. And we learn how to get things done the way we think they ought to be done. But what would happen if we just wait on the Holy Ghost? Hallelujah. Just let God have His way and do what God really wants to do. So they're waiting. Amen. And the Bible said, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, when it finally got there, this was what Pentecost was all about. The Bible said, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, even Mary. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Bible said, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Hallelujah. And that's not where it stopped. That's where it started. Amen. That upper room couldn't contain them. The next thing you know, they got out in the streets and they're still talking in tongues. How do I know that? Well, let me show you. Look here at this next verse. Now, most of these people were Galileans. That means they were hicks from the sticks. And the Bible says that they spilled out in the streets and they're still worshiping, praising God. They're full of the Holy Ghost. And everybody's in Jerusalem. It said in verse 6, when it was noised abroad, the multitude came together and they were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. They were all amazed and marveled, saying one another, "Behold, are not these Galileans or hicks from the sticks?" And then he says, "Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, and dwellers of Mesopotamia, and Judea, and Cappadocia, and Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, and Egypt, and parts of Libya, about Cyrene, strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabs, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God." Now, these people aren't supposed to be speaking those languages. How did they learn those languages? They didn't. Blame it on the Holy Ghost. They were just, as far as they knew, they're just talking in tongues. Amen. But God had a message for some Parthians and some Medes and some Cappadocians and some Cretans and all of that. God wanted them to know what was happening. Some years ago, there was a trip of ministers, and they were in Jerusalem, and they kept driving on the bus, and the guide, they'd see something, they'd ooh and ah, and he'd say, "Oh, but wait till you see Jerusalem." And they'd see another sight, and they'd say, "Oh, but wait till you see Jerusalem." And when the bus went over the rise, and for the first time, Jerusalem came into sight. And they pulled the bus over, and about that time, the Holy Ghost hit a brother on the bus, and he burst out with a message in tongues. And there was no interpretation. But the guide's face turned just perfectly pale. All the color drained away, and he stood in a stunned silence. When people started getting off the bus, he said to one of the preachers, he said, "I didn't know that guy knew how to speak Yiddish. Where did he learn?" He said, "Oh, he's from Tennessee. He don't even speak English very well." Amen. He said, "Oh, he just spoke beautifully in my language." Amen. God had a message for that man. Amen. I'm telling you, I had people ask me that about speaking in Spanish. They said, "Brother Grissom, did you ever have a time when you just started speaking and the Holy Ghost came on you and spoke perfect Spanish?" I said, "Never happened." I said, "I got up and butchered the English. Sounded like a kindergartner." Amen. But guess what? Folks still got the Holy Ghost. People still got healed. The Holy Ghost still worked. God still did a wonderful thing. Amen. In spite of our weaknesses, He did not the Lord say, "For my strength is made perfect in weakness." Paul said, "Therefore, when I am weak, then am I strong." When you depend on God and just let God do what God does, everything's going to be all right. Amen. And so they started talking in tongues throughout the street. Great things are happening. I love these verses. Look at that a little bit further down, verse number 12. It says they were all amazed and were in doubt. Amen. They didn't know what in the world was going on. What is happening here? Amen. And the others were mocking, saying, "What in the world does this mean?" Some were mocking, saying, "These guys, they're full of new wine. They got drunk this early 9 o'clock in the morning." What a shame. Amen. Peter did not deny the charges. He said, "We are not drunk as ye suppose." Amen. We are under the influence. We have imbibed. Amen. Something has definitely happened to us. Amen. He said, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, saith God, I will pour my spirit out upon all people." Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. He said, "Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And upon my handmaidens in those days will I pour out of my spirit." And the Holy Ghost came down. But say, blame it on the Holy Ghost. Oh, and I'm telling you something. There's some power in the Holy Ghost. I want you to listen to me. This is the same Peter that just about 50 days before this was afraid of a little old girl. One little girl accused him of being a follower of Jesus Christ, and he denied it and lied about it, not once, not twice, but three times, and cussed a little bit to throw in and let her know, "I'm really not one of them." But 50 days later, the Holy Ghost comes. Peter stands up with a backbone, and he stands up before that crowd, the same bunch that 50 days earlier had crucified Jesus Christ. Same people. Nothing's changed except for the Holy Ghost. And now Peter stands up with a big old backbone and begins to preach, and the 11 stand up with him saying, "Amen, Pete, preach on, brother." Amen. And they had an apostolic service that day. And Peter preached to that crowd. And when he got through preaching, he said, "And you have taken the Lord of glory and crucified him." And conviction fell on the crowd. And they started saying, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And then Peter said, "Come shake my hand and sign the church book." No, I don't believe he said that. He said, "Kiss my ring." No, he didn't say that. Amen. Amen. He said, "Honk if you love Jesus." He didn't say that. He said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And all thy house." He didn't say that. They said, "What in the world are we going to do?" What did he say? Amen. He said, "Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Amen. And the Holy Ghost fell on that crowd, and 3,000 people were added to the church that day. Praise the Lord. Just blame it on the Holy Ghost. And it didn't stop there. I'm talking about an explosion, friend. It started with 120, and it just kept on rumbling. It rolled all over Jerusalem. You read about it a few days later, 5,000 more were added. And then it started spilling over out of Jerusalem, and it got over into all of Judea, and it spilled over, and it got over into Samaria, and it spilled over until it wound up even in Caesar's household. As a matter of fact, they said, "They that have turned the world upside down have come hither also." I'm talking about an explosion. And you know what? It didn't stop when the apostles died. It kept going through the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. It just kept going. And it just kept growing. Praise God, it didn't stop. Amen. It didn't stop with Jesus. It didn't stop with Peter and Paul or James and John. It just kept going. Hallelujah. And it's still going today. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, just blame it on the Holy Ghost. It's still happening. Praise God. Just blame it on the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. It's still going on today. Still happening here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory. Amen. I'll never forget that night Brother Robbie came to church and hadn't been in a while. Amen. Quite a few years. And I was all excited. I said, "Hey, this is a Wednesday night service. We're getting ready to go home." I said, "Hey, folks," I said, "invite somebody to church Sunday. They might get the Holy Ghost. Come and God will give them the Holy Ghost." And he stood up. He said, "What about now?" Amen. He was hungry. Guess what? In about 5 minutes, he was talking in tongues just like Peter, James, and John, Mary, Mother of Jesus did. Amen. You come hungry, you'll leave filled. I said, "You come hungry, and you'll leave full." Amen. And you can just go out here and say, "Don't blame me, blame the Holy Ghost." Amen. Amen. When your life changes for the better, blame it on the Holy Ghost. When you have joy and peace and righteousness in your heart, blame it on the Holy Ghost. Amen. When the things you used to love, now you hate. And the things you hate, now you love. Blame it on the Holy Ghost. When you become a new creature in Christ Jesus, blame it on the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, friend, there's something real about all this. Amen. I'm not preaching something to you today that somebody told me. I'm preaching something that got a hold of me. I was 15 years old and I was really tough. I went to church because my mama made me go to church. She was tougher than I was. You didn't mess with mama. Amen. If mama couldn't get it done, daddy could. Amen. So I didn't mess with them. They said go, I went. I wasn't happy about it, but I went. Amen. Thank God for a mean mama and a mean daddy. It just made me go when I didn't want to. And I've heard parents say, "I don't want to force my children. When they get old enough, they can make up their own mind." You don't do that with anything else in their life. You didn't allow them to learn where they wanted to speak English. You made them learn English. You didn't say, "Well, you can speak Ubangi if you want to, honey." him, and don't say anything till you get to age, and then learn what language you want to speak. When it comes to school, you didn't say, no, you can stay home as long as you want to. When you get old enough and you want to go to school, then you can go. But until then, you can just run around the house here in your diapers, and I'll make your bottles, and you don't have to make any decisions, honey, until you get old enough. See the fallacy here? How foolish is that? Amen. That's so silly. Amen. To tell children, I just don't want to force anything on you. And you cram things down their throat every day. Don't tell me that. Amen. Every day. We say, oh, this is good for you. I know nothing better for you than the church of Jesus Christ. I know nothing better for you than the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I know nothing better for you than the washing away of your sins in the name of Jesus Christ. I know nothing better for you than the power of God resident in your life to keep you from sin and help you to rise above the filthy temptations of this life and this world. So many parents, no backbone, say, well, honey, I'll just let you make your own decision. Amen. And when you did that, you helped them make a decision. Amen. Praise God. Well, my folks made me go. So did mine, and I'm so glad. Amen. Praise God. And so God delivered me from drugs. I didn't know you're on drugs, Brother Gerson, as I was. My mom and dad drug me to church on Sunday morning. They drug me to church on Sunday night. They drug me to church on Wednesday night. They drug me to church every night of revival. They drug me to church whether I wanted to go or not. When I got the Holy Ghost, I got delivered from all that dragging. Amen. Because now I wanted to go. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. But just blame it on the Holy Ghost. At 15, I was tough, man. Sitting right back there on the back seat. Amen. But I'm telling you, you're no match for the Holy Ghost. When He starts working, you're a goner. I was sitting there, and I was tough, real tough. Tears running down my cheeks. I started wiping them out of my eyes. Hey, I'm tough. Don't you mess with me. Amen. And then they wouldn't stop, Brother Hart. So I got mad and ran out to the bathroom. Thought, I'll stop this foolishness. It got worse. Then I started heaving and booing, hoping nobody could hear me. Hey, man, that wasn't working. So I went down and sat down and buried my head real low so nobody could see me. Hey, man. And the Holy Ghost was just working all over me. And a big old guy came back there about 6'8" and weighed probably 300 none of our business pounds and put his big old heavy arm around me and pushed me down the seat. And I'll never forget it. He said, Johnny, he said, it takes a man to live for God. Amen. I stepped over David Busher and I ran to the altar and gave my life to the Lord and thank God. Amen. Thank God for a place that you could start all over again. Amen. I'm so happy. Here we are 40 plus years later. Amen. You know what? I serve God because I want to. Mom and Dad, they're not here to make me go to church anymore. Been gone a long time. Amen. Been gone a long time. Praise God. But I'm still going, Brother Hart, because I want to. I want to. God just put something in me. And I blame it on the Holy Ghost. Because He's still with me all these years later. And thank God for the Holy Ghost. At Jerusalem it started. And then it went down through time. 67. I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And here we are 2011. It's still going on by the grace of God. Let's stand together today. Amen. I would like for somebody to experience your own Pentecost here this morning. What better time to receive it than on Pentecost Sunday? What better time than right now? Amen. Jesus is in this house. The Holy Ghost is right here. Amen. You can have it right here. You can have it right now. Amen. Praise God. I can